You are listening to a production of the TOR Network, home of biting analysis. I'm Aleph, the thesis-seeking critic, Duat Red.
And I'm Sona, the overly emotional critic, Duat Green. Join us as we continue on our wild ride through Dobit Sentai Zyuojo. Can Yamato lead his human friends and this other guy through an adventure to save the human world from the Death Galleon, and I guess now also some other guy? Find out how we think he's doing as we share our thoughts on Dobit Sentai Zyuojo, Episode 24, Revived Memory. Our writer was once again Komura Junko. Our director was Takemoto Noboru. Let's get right on in.
Okay, so let's hear your animal instincts, your overall thoughts on the episode, and its message.
This may very well end up as my favorite Zyuojo episode. I mean, we're only at really the halfway point, so it's hard to say for certain, but it's definitely my favorite thus far. Just on a narrative structure level, it gave us kind of this great picture of our new villain, Bungley, and kind of what's all up in his head, how he sees what he's doing, and it reasserts what kind of hero our Red is. We get perspective into Yamato's, you know, quote-unquote catchphrase of all life being connected, and just why that assertion is so strong coming from him and what it means to him. And it was also really intense on a level that I don't generally expect from an episode of Sentai. Like, Bungley cutting down the image of Yamato's mother just to do as much damage to him as possible is something I expect a little more from Ryder. But, man, they did it right here. I'm always really into something that pushes the idea of, you know, people you've lost never being totally gone, you know, as long as you hold on to their memory. So, you know, they were kind of hitting all my weak spots in just the right way with this.
Yeah, same here. I'm not ashamed to admit, like, when Bungley does the attack and it hits Mom and she starts, you know, doing the Kamen Rider ghost effect, I was like, geez, I'm getting all choked up.
I was gone at that point. There was no hope for me.
Yeah, well, and it's one of the first times that when Yamato stood up and like had his little speech, I'm like, you friggin' tell him, dude. You tell him. Because, I mean, like you were saying, like, Ryder has been all about, you know, doing ghost this season, and it's kind of surprising we haven't had more moments that are like this throughout. I mean, we've had a couple, but, like, this was one of the most impactful things we've had in quite some time. And like you were saying, like, I think there's going to be a lot of, like you were saying, in this episode, because, yeah, I was also really excited to not only create context for that catchphrase, but also to illustrate and examine it a little. Like, okay, how are people connected to each other? Sure, there's the big, abstract, big-picture way that we're all on the same planet, and it's neat, but there's also the smaller ways, which, like, while not exactly concrete sorts of things that you can point to and hold in your hand, are a lot easier to hold on to and actually mean a lot more to people in the long term. Because, yeah, Yamato is connected to his mother because they share a history. One that's really memorable, but and one that has a lot of complicated emotions sticking to it, and they actually acknowledge that those emotions are complicated and intense and filled with bunches of stuff. And, man, like, I know we've said before that when this show is on, it is on. And, you know, it was on this week.
I mean, really, if
this had been the second episode of the series, like, if they had just skipped most of the start and just started with Bungley and, like, had, you know, I'm not going to try and rewrite the season. I will do in my spare time, not right now. But, like, if they would have done this as, like, first or second episode, you know, tried to hit this beat, I would be, like, I would have been rabid for this series the whole way through. It was just that good. Which, speaking of things that are good or not good, implicitly, what got your hackles up this week, Sono?
Leo's saving that girl from the ghost of her boyfriend, fiance, something like that. I don't know. I mean, he wasn't openly gross about it, but it's just that he's got this history around women, and it made it kind of uncomfortable for me. Like, don't put Leo in positions to save damsels in distress.
Yeah, because it did kind of feel to me like this is him having his nice guy TM moment.
Yeah, like, oh, okay, yeah, she's freaking out and, like, doesn't want this dude touching her because, like, he's dead and she doesn't know how to handle this. And yes, wanting to, you know, get her out of that, that's fine. It's not really the action or even the context of the action within the episode. It's just the context of Leo himself. Like, I just remember him sitting up on that wall watching, like, high school girls walk by.
Yeah, that was something else.
And, like, I can't separate that out when he's the one that's jumping into the situation trying to save this woman. Because I'm like, what are you expecting to come out of this?
Okay, so I'm not the only one. I'm glad.
It could have been anyone else in the show, and I wouldn't have thought twice. Like, I wouldn't have given it any kind of thought, but it's just they've painted Leo in certain ways around women where now I just get uneasy if they let him near, like, any kind... I don't want to use the term NPC, but that's what's, like, coming to mind. Because she wasn't really victim of the week, but she was just, you know, random lady. And I'm like, okay, last time he saved a lady... We had that whole mountain episode.
Yeah. Oh, God, that was...
And, like, I get real worried around Leo.
No, that's legit.
Misao jumping to the conclusion that the woman with Yamato is his girlfriend? I mean, they don't make a huge deal out of it, and Misao does kind of recognize at the end, like, maybe I shouldn't have just jumped to that. But also, he says it to Mario, and, like, no one ever resolves that fact.
Yeah, like, it was weird how, like, little Mario is helping. Is he written by Inoue? Is that what's going on?
Maybe.
Is just the presence of Bird Kusaka in the show's universe just creating a plague of people not talking?
And, you know, like... On that, Mario's first reaction to Misao being like, hey, Yamato is dating this woman in this photo. His reaction shouldn't have been, oh, that can't be right. It can't be her because my sister is dead. It should have been like, I'm pretty sure if that is the woman he was with, he would not be dating her. Because
yeah.
That's his mom.
Yeah.
Like, your reaction was a
like
little
her.
Off.
Yeah.
He's just like, oh no, that can't be right, because she's dead. But if she was alive, dating him doesn't seem weird to me. It's like, no, that should be the weirdest thing in this situation.
Also, like, a part of me is like, maybe he should, like, run out to go see what the hell he was talking about, because it's like, wait, my sister's alive? And looks exactly unchanged for the last, what, 10, 15 years?
That's a little worry. Yeah, it's something about Mario, pretty much everything about Mario's reaction to that was not quite on the mark.
Yeah, I mean, I'm willing to chalk that up to a cultural thing, but,
Yeah, I mean, I know, like, he immediately thought, like, oh, it must just be a woman that looks like my sister.
Yeah,
but,
true.
Like, even at that point, you should still maybe be like, but, Especially since, like, it's a pic- And I don't know why Misao wasn't a little weirded out, like, wait, if it's this woman, why is she in a photo with Yamato when he's, like, 10?
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of unanswered questions about that exchange. And again,
well,
just no
it's clearly,
one...
like, we gotta move this stuff along.
Yeah, and again, like, just no one resolves this with Mario. Like, no one tells him, like, oh... Like, they weren't dating, she was just someone that he knows, and let's never speak of this again, because he's definitely not dating her.
Yeah.
Don't bring up this trauma to him. And then just Leo being a huge jerk to Misao at the end of the episode. Like, Leo, stop talking to anyone ever. Like, I wanna like Leo, because there are times when I do, but my patience is wearing really thin with him at this point.
Yeah, you ain't kidding even a little. Dude just needs to, like, they need to write him growing the F up. Again, like, I know that in the wild, male lions just fight and kill other male lions while the lionesses go off to hunt and bring back the food and generally be the productive and useful members of the pride. So all this stuff is not exactly outside of character, providing that the Zoolander lions act like lions out here. But still, yikes. Dude is just frustrating.
He's like, oh, let's make some food to cheer up Yamato, but not you.
Yeah, that was really not cool. Like, just like, oh, no, we were making this specifically for, oh, wait, no, you need cheering up to have share in this. Like, but we're also going to be having Yamato's back a little harder, because he did just watch his mom die a second time, and that's messed up.
Yeah.
And just sort of going back to an earlier point that you made, because, again, there's going to be a lot of, dang, Sono, you sure are right this episode, but dang, Sono, you sure are right this episode. like, I really do want I want to get a grip on if the writers, directors, and everyone understand how Leo's coming off, because, like, every time they try to make him a hero, I feel like they're trying to undo the creepy stuff with Sela, and then consequently every other woman he meets. Because I feel like they're trying to just undo it without ever addressing that they made that mistake, or if it's a mistake, I don't, you know, it's hard to say. But if you don't address it, he's a big old creepo, and have him, like, turn it around, it makes me feel like the show doesn't realize that he's kind of grody.
Yeah, a little bit.
Just, yeah. But speaking of them just trying to turn things around, yeah, I'm the master of the just seamless transition. That was really good. let's get to our tide turners.
Amu stopping, like, as they're running out of the house to call Yamato was kind of a nice little, I wrote callback, but I don't know if that's the right word, but just something to put emphasis kind of on the attitude we learned from her last episode. Where it's like, you know, if we need help, we'll tell you. And there's a thing going on, and I'm gonna tell you, even though I know you've got a thing going on right now. And I also like that the episode opens with her cleaning the house. Like, you know, Tusk is reading the morning paper, Sela's, you know, tidying up, and Amu's in the back vacuuming. I feel like she's maybe becoming a little more responsible. Understanding that she needs to do things.
Yeah, and that people aren't always going to tell her.
Yeah.
You could just help out. You could be proactive. Just saying.
Yeah, and I think, like, once you kind of put that in her head, she's like, okay, yeah, I can do that. You just need to, like, let me know.
Yep.
And now that you've let me know, I'm going to do it. Tusk putting two and two together about Bungalow was pretty neat. You know, just about what he can do. It was a small detail, him just recognizing the way that people disappeared. But I feel like it's one of those things where if he hadn't, like, we would be putting it together before the characters did, and it would feel weird that they hadn't noticed it. So, you know, Tusk is smart enough to figure it out, so I'm glad that they allowed him to do that. All of the stuff with Yamato and his mom destroyed me. I mean, I said last week that it was gonna. But
yeah, no one was ready.
It's there. Like, I was braced for it, and it still destroyed me. But, like, the kid playing little Yamato actually got some real genuine grief out, so, I mean,
he sold it.
Like, little kids in Toku can't always act, but this kid got it, so, you know, I hope he's able to stick with acting. Because we, you know, we might get another Takeru Sato out of him if he's able to, you know, genuinely act grieving a dying parent at that age. Which, you know, I hope is not something he has any experience with. By any means, God no. Just, you know, good acting on his part, which, you know, really helped sell the episode. And you know, present Yamato's genuine distress over the situation, like, as he's spending time with his mom, because he knows, like, this isn't right. Something is going on here, but I don't know what it is. And they just, they all tied it in so well to Yamato's character that, you know, I was crying throughout the majority of the episode.
Yeah, like, again, if they can keep up this level of writing, I kind of want this Junko Kimura to go on and do writer later.
And, you know, Bungle killing Wakako was brutal. I mean, there was no blood, but it was still really rough. He just puts that axe anchor thing, like, right through her. And I'm not... I debated over putting this here in the last section, but at worst, I'm just really shocked by it. And I'm not really put off at all. So I decided to put it here because that scene is the catalyst for some really beautiful writing. But man, it was brutal on a level that I was not prepared for.
Yeah. Yeah, you ain't kidding.
Bungle laughing in Yamato's face about the whole thing and about his feelings and his belief in all life being connected. And Yamato using all of that to kind of reassert that belief instead of letting himself crumble was absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
You know, he was able to see his mother again because he believed in that connection, not in spite of it. The very subtle cue that Yamato's father had visited the grave, via the flowers that had been placed there at the end, that weren't there at the beginning of the episode when they visited, and using that to put some emphasis on the fact that there's some conflict still there between him and Yamato has me interested in when and how that will eventually play out. And I'm also very curious about Amu. Since she was the one that was aware that there was more going on with Yamato than just, you know, being sad about his mother. And last week has made me wonder, like, where is her father? Because she emphasized, like, oh, it's just me and Mom. And I'm curious if maybe she's able to pick up on there being tension there with Yamato because she recognizes having had that issue herself.
Yeah, and it's... I'm really loving just Amu this episode, because when you see all the reaction stuff, like, I admit, like, I don't know if it's the camera did it or I just did it. I just kept watching her face, and she pulled some really great reactions, and she realized what was going on here.
Yeah, and also, like, at the end of the fight, she stops and is like, Yamato, are you okay?
Yeah.
Are you okay? Do you need anything? And again, that's a really nice fallback to what we learned about her last week, because it's like, something really heavy happened, and do you need my help?
Yeah, I mean, it was not quite as big and over the top, which, you know, is good or bad, as in one of the Kamen Rider O's movie, I think it was, when they introduced Nadeshiko, and the Foundation X guys take her away, and Gentaro's just sort of crying there, and all the kids are like, no, we'll fight the monster, you finish crying, dude.
Oh, yeah, that's Megamax.
Okay, I thought so. Like, it wasn't quite that good, but look, very few things are.
Yeah,
it
like, that's...
that good. Like, it was, like, when she does the, are you okay, it was like, it was not quite, I can't fight, but I can bring you some tissue. Not quite that good, but it's in that league.
Yeah, it's up there for something that could only last for, like, 2 seconds, because then they had to go, like, fight the giant monsters.
Yep. And part of me is like, look, maybe we shouldn't even have the giant monsters, and we can just have Amu just taking care of Yamato, because he's really messed up right now.
Yeah.
But I get that they can. They gotta sell toys. I get it. Still, though, speaking of, Bungle is just kind of amazing, honestly, and this is a great episode because not only because of all the stuff we've been talking about with Yamato, but also because you get to see him do his stuff, and like you were saying, like, he's got 1,000 times more character than either of the other players or Genos. Easily. Like, he's a powerful, petty sadist whose powerful, petty sadism reads as engaged and interesting and genuinely threatening in the way most of Genos's plots just do not, with the notable exception of all the bits where he's, you know, creating the world. And, look, I'm glad we aren't flashing back to any of those, because...
Yeah, I'm a little done with that. That was a little too much.
Yeah,
that was too much personality.
This is an appropriate, like, genre, appropriate level of like, petty, sadistic, and creepy. Because, like, yeah, again, I could just plus one everything you said, but I'm also going to say it in my own way, because why not? Because with Wakako getting re-killed like that, it would have been so easy to make it come off as cheap, manipulative, or exploitative, which, I mean, look, if you were just to tell me that that was what was going to happen this episode, like, and I didn't watch how they pulled it off, I would have thought, well, that is really cheap, manipulative, and exploitative, isn't it? And yet it wasn't. Like, it was this kind of genuinely sweet moment that the lady playing Wakako and both the kids playing Yamato, they sold it so hard, and you believed it, and you were there in that moment, and if you have a scrap of empathy in you, you're like, oh, my heart breaks for you, kid.
Yeah.
Like, this thing of, like, he watched his mother die, you know, his mother, the sweet veterinarian who, you know, you implicitly get, like, oh, yeah, she's the one who taught him his love of animals and the natural world, like, there's a part of me that's like, well, you just introduced this now. It's too soon. You're expecting me to care too much. And then they're just like, oh, it's cool. We'll just write it really well and direct it really well and give it good music and we'll just break your heart.
It's like, oh, no, you already care. You may not have noticed yet, but you already care.
Yeah, it's really good. And good catch on the stuff with implicitly Dad leaving the flowers, because I'd not caught them, but even throughout the episode, like, I was really wondering in the handful of slower moments what this meant for Yamato's dad, and I was and just wondering if this feeds into why the two of them are so estranged, and that would make for an interesting bit of nice human drama that would also play with the theme of interconnectedness. That would just be a lot of fun to put on TV and a good thing to explore for the kids, even though, yes, you have to explore through genre-appropriate means, because, look, this is some heavy stuff, this episode.
Yeah.
dead parents, and, okay, this was, like, one of my other things. And again, I don't know if this is a cultural thing, and like, I'm given to understand that, like, the Japanese conception and understanding and cultural attitude towards death is very different than the American one, and so on and so forth. But look, like, they were open about it, about just the concept of death, the whole episode, in a really good way that, again, could have and should have probably been really cheap and manipulative and exploitative. But instead, they just did it really well. Somehow there's this episode, right, with dead lovers, dead spouses, dead grandparents, dead children, dead siblings, and all of that, like, explicitly, like, when the mom is kneeling down, she's like, honey, I can't believe you're back, and it's just like, that's like a 10-year-old kid. Criminy. How did that kid die? Well, probably death alien, but still.
To, like, be fair.
Like, even that moment with Leo was kind of intense, because, like, hey, this dude is coming back to hug his fiance, and you're like, why is she reacting like that? Boy, maybe it's good he's dead.
Yeah.
But, like, but the thing they did is they gave that girl a story, or at least the seed of one, and you, like, I'm just like, get out of the way, Leo, I want to know what her deal is. Sela, ask her deal. I want to know. But then it's just like, well, maybe that would be a little too intense still for an episode that is already, like, you know, the episode is really just, hey kids, guess what? You're powerless in the face of death. The only thing you can do is remember the people who leave, and in that way they will never die. They aren't gone, they're just not here. And I'm like, oh. I just wanted to grab the whole cast and crew and just be like, hey, come here. I'm just hugs all around. Good job.
Y'all did good.
Yeah. And finally, just again, the bits where the crew figured out what was going on. I really enjoyed all the actors doing some great reactions, and especially Amu. But again, maybe I'm shortchanging other people. It's just she was the one I was looking at because, as we've said, like the last couple episodes have had Amu-centric stuff, and it's been really nice.
It has. I'm always happy to see Amu.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, I, you know, Sela was kind of my favorite, and I kind of wish we'd get back to Sela some more, but, you know, it's nice that we're filling out the whole cast, and besides, this way, hopefully when Sela gets her episode again, it'll be to cave Leo's face in with her fist of fury.
One day.
Yeah, maybe she'll just drop the cube shark on him, it'll be fine. No one will miss him. That was... Okay, so sharks, though, interesting thing about sharks, they actually, I was going to repeat the old lie that they haven't evolved in 100 million years, and that's not actually true, but they're really cool sharks. But let's talk about evolutions. What do you think this show has in store for us in the future?
You know, speaking about Leo getting his face caved in, I can't wait to see Misao tell Leo off for being the worst.
Oh, it's going to be so good.
I mean, I hope it ends up with Leo learning that he's been a garbage person to a lot of people, and mostly women, especially Sela, and, you know, shapes the heck up, instead of it being about Misao learning Leo's perspective and accepting the way he is, because the way he is the way of a garbage person.
Yeah, like, that is not the way to be.
But, I mean, that preview was looking pretty good, with Misao just being, you know what, I don't like you. I don't like people like you. Just stop.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, I'm right there with you, because, like, I just want it to be, like, Misao just pushing Leo into a mud puddle. Like, that'd be great. Like, even if he gets pulled in with him, or Leo pushes, you know, stands up and pushes him back in, that'd be fine. As long as we have a thing where Leo gets just told off and grows the F up a little, you know?
Yeah.
Also, okay, this isn't in the show proper, but they keep showing the ads for the Zhuodra movie. And look, I don't care what Bandai or Toei says, the little cube animal that is the movie-only cube, I guess. You know, because they always have the movie-only toy. They keep saying it's a cube condor. It's not a condor. That is a duck. Maybe a goose. But look, that is not a condor. Condors don't look like that. That is a cube duck. I realize ducks don't sound as cool as condor.
I mean, geese, I would be afraid of cube goose.
Yeah, I would be far more afraid of cube goose. Are you kidding?
Geese will mess you up. Like, there's a reason Swan should probably be the most terrifying person in Dekaranger.
Oh, what do you mean probably? Like, she is. The only thing is that she's in a good mood most of the time.
That's because they just leave her in her room and let her build robots.
Yeah.
The one time they're like, hey, maybe you should go to this thing. It's like, I don't want to go to this thing. No, go to this thing. You deserve it. It's like, fine, I'll go to the thing.
Five seconds later, it's like that bit in, it's that gift from Community where Troy comes in, and he's just holding the pizzas, and he's just looking around, and everything's on fire.
It's like 5 seconds later, literally half the planet is about to blow up, and they're like, we can't call Mom, she'll kill us.
Yes.
Mom can never know, she will destroy us. Crap, Dad told Mom.
Yep, don't tell Mom, the babysitter's dead.
And then Swan, like, destroys the world. Swan destroys the world instead of the bomb.
Yep.
And by the world, I mostly just mean the bad guy of the week. And then grounds everyone for life. What a good mom.
Yeah, well, they deserved it. I just I really, you know, I don't have a whole lot for Deck Ranger. I love Swan. I was so glad in the movie where it's like, they just took the subtext and made it text, and it's like, no,
finally,
Swan and Doggy, they're a thing.
Finally, like the thing is, like, they've always been a thing. They've just never acknowledged it, which has just been a running joke throughout the entirety of everything Deca Ranger shown up in, like, with the exception of Gokaiger, because she wasn't in that.
That's probably just because she was busy that day.
Probably. But I mean, like, that's literally the plot of Deca Ranger versus Maji Ranger.
Nice.
Is that their mom was like, hey, we have this thing, and it'll, like, destroy the Earth unless, like, once a year, some people who really love each other just hang out in the vicinity of it. So, some stuff seems like it's about to go down, so Doggy and Swan, you take it. And they're like, but, and she's like, no, you're literally the happiest couple I know, but we're not. No, you are.
Don't you lie to me. Go. But no, we're not together. Uh-huh. Go.
It's like, take it. Just do the thing.
But, I mean, we're not. Shut up. Sit. Go.
Yes, you are.
You aren't fooling anyone. Well, I mean, could we maybe... Couldn't you ask Jasmine? Yeah, I heard she's an Esper and an Umiko. They're busy. Sit.
It's like,
but Jasper, she's an Esper. Sorry, I have to every time. I'm so sorry.
I mean, also in that movie, I'm pretty sure Jasmine dates Urara for a while, like, after that movie. She spends a lot of that movie almost definitely hitting on Urara.
Good. I'm down.
It is. I'm almost definitely pronouncing Urara's name wrong, but it's, like, three letters. It's two letters. It's two letters multiple times, and I'm not sure how to put emphasis on syllables in that.
Well, they have the whole different speech rhythm.
Yeah, and I'm not quite used to it. But man, is Deca Ranger versus Maji Ranger is a pretty gay movie.
It's nice.
It's a good movie.
But let's see, we didn't have any questions this week.
Nope, because I'm a little busy.
Well, yeah, it's a busy time. It shouldn't be, but it is.
Yep.
So then I suppose I'll take us out.
Yeah.
So then, for the TOR Network and Laser Knees, I'm Aleph.
And I'm Sono.
And we'll see you next time.